traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
A holistic person cannot be perfect in every aspect. There's always flaws. There's always, I have flaws. We all have flaws. You have so many flaws.
But it's like, yeah. You know what? I've never got insulted with such a sexy voice. I wasn't even offended. I was like, he's talking to me.
All I know is this. The last video that I posted on my YouTube was like, Logan Paul always has a room in my house. You're never coming back. Caitlin, during this show, can you get his out of my house? I hate this kid right now, bro. Well, can someone get his out of my house? Bro, all he's done is I don't even know what to say to him, dude. You know, he comes to LA. I set up this wonderful weekend for him. Got tickets to the
got tickets
to the biggest soccer game of the year, LAFC. He's gonna sit on the field with his feet on the field because he was all excited to go. Just now he's like, you know, I'm tired. I didn't sleep well last night. Homie, I haven't slept in 25 years. I make every event, everything I go to. Now I have to go and be like, Logan Paul couldn't make it, but you got Mike Malak. Imagine how exciting that's gonna be.
Are
you serious?
Underselling yourself. You're a great performer, entertainer, and even though you look identical to Andrew Tate right now, you motherfucker. I'm not going to that game, Mike. I am running out of energy.
Well, you're making a mistake because Gareth Bale is going to come over and be like, where's your friend Logan? And you're not going to be there. And you know what? At the end of the day, dude, some things are just your loss, dude. So go home. Not my house, of course. But whatever house you're going to, jerk off. Do whatever you're going to do for the next 3 hours. I'll be enjoying some fine football.
I'm running on fumes, Mike. I don't get any sleep in that Flintstone bed of yours. You provided me with 2 pillows made out of tissues.
I'll say it again. Last time I was at your house in Puerto Rico, slept on the floor. You didn't even give me a fucking bed to sleep. An actual rock. You're saying you slept on a concrete like bed? I slept on the concrete. Way worse.
Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world, sort of. Thank you for listening, watching, viewing, and subscribing. We love you guys. It's a little hectic over here. This is our 4th podcast in 2 days. We're doing a lot and a lot of traveling. Everyone's busy. Tensions are high.
No, they're not. It's fine.
Well, the only rebuttal to what you're saying is when I came to LA last time and I stayed with George, his sister had a gift basket for me with goods in it, shampoo, conditioner,
but not just
deodorant.
His the exact ones he uses at his house.
They asked me ahead of time. It was very nice. And Mike, I love you. You know that. And I appreciate you giving me a place to stay. But now it's affecting my work. Right,
dude. And everybody else has slept on that bed and had no issue.
Who, Robin?
How many? Yeah, other people. A couple of people have slept in the bed. I've personally laid in the bed. I thought it was quite comfortable. I just think it's just not up to your standards. You had no problem with the hot tub, the views, the food being brought in, your stylist coming over in the morning with your Gucci clothing, and now the bed is not good enough for you. Ohio 911, we got a problem here. You lost your boy. He's gone. Cleveland's boy is now the Gucci king. He's finished.
I don't even like Gucci.
Greg Paul, take over. Take the wheel.
I don't like Gucci. I'll wear it because my stylist says, but I think it's lame.
Stylist. Jake doesn't even have a fucking stylist. He made $45 million.
But that's why he looks like that. He didn't make $45 million. He made $40 million and lost it all on crypto.
That didn't happen. And last time you said that, they picked it up and ran.
I can't believe that. I said Jake lost his money as a joke on the podcast. News actually ran with it. I think he's broke.
True too.
Why would you think that's true?
Oh, I'm an idiot.
All right.
When she puts that 3-inch topper on that bed, you're making up for what you're saying right now. I forgot what
you're not saying.
Revising
anything.
It. You're revising your statements.
I will.
And you're gonna bring the house back to
its glory. I'll retract my statements. I'm being a prissy little ungrateful son of a gun.
Oh, that's fine.
I appreciate you, Mike, and thanks for letting me stay at your house.
Aww.
We have a guest today. We're disrespecting him. He was incredibly on time. I'm gonna ask him about it because actually it's interesting. Folks, our guest today is 33 million subscribers. That is so many subscribers. He built a channel through gaming and comedy, and he's become one of the most iconic gaming creators on the internet. He currently hosts the podcast Distractable and Go. My favorite sports team is Markiplier. Markiplier, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you so much. Can we just apologize? I just want to apologize right off the bat, dude.
Yeah, we
like you walked into a nightmare.
Dude, it's fine. Emotions get high. You gotta yell sometimes.
You have the sexiest voice ever.
So that's his,
oh my God.
That's his thing. Mm-hmm. I want to tell a story before we fully dive in. The first time we met.
Yeah.
With the Wiggles.
Yeah, Barb Baker.
Barb Baker shoot. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. We were shooting and we were both playing the Wiggles. Mm-hmm. One of the characters, and you started talking to me, and I'm like, this guy's awesome. Like, his voice is great. His energy is like I'm calm. Like, I'm peaceful in my head. And I didn't know who you were. And then I got home, and it was one of those things where I did the research, and then I was like, oh, he's already a massive creator. And since then, really just taken off, man.
Oh, that's too sweet.
Yeah, no, you're an iconic, you're one of the YouTube greats, dude. I'm honored to have you on this podcast. Seriously, yes. Thank you.
Dude, I wanted to be here just because you and I, as long as we've known each other, we have not actually sat down and had a conversation.
I don't think so.
And it's an honor to be on this couch with all you guys. Like, I know Impulsive has just been doing super well and you've been having all these guests. And I know that managers will talk behind the scenes about all the projects that mm-hmm. here to promote. And it doesn't matter to me. I'm just here to talk, man.
Let's chat, dude.
Yeah, before we even continue about that, I need to thank you because on this podcast, you said something incredibly sweet about Unas Honest that not many other creators acknowledged about. And it was just so heartwarming because it seemed like you really took the message of what that project was all about to heart. And it was just so sweet to hear. And it was like not a lot of people got it or understood why. And it was like you seemed to really respect what we were trying to do and accomplish with that.
I want to talk about that because it fascinates me. I have the worst memory ever. Can you tell me what I said?
I don't remember.
I actually remember what you
said. He's like, I don't remember either, but it was sweet.
It was Markiplier is a god among creators, greatest nut. It was just like very sweet of like you liked the idea of something temporary, some all this work being summed up. And it's fine if that doesn't resonate with people. It's not meant to, but for those that do, you said like it was a really smart idea and it was clever.
In many ways, I think I'm attracted to the things that you do because I think they're so great. Like I go, that's good. I wanted to do something like that. And Unas Honest was one of them. For people listening, I think this is fascinating. I'm happy to open here. Mm-hmm. How would you describe it? You made videos on this channel for how long?
1 year.
One year, every day.
Yeah. So that's what Unas Honest means. Well, I don't even know if we're pronouncing it correctly. It's Latin for 1 year. So we made a video every day, roughly about 10 minutes. You know that life, the daily vlog life. This was just like whatever we could shit out. And like we were still running our own channels at the same time, which was still daily uploads. It was a slog of work, all for 365 days. Actually, it was a leap year, 366 days.
Oh my God.
And then at the end of it, we deleted it, everything. Gone forever.
Did you guys hear that? Mm-hmm. Do you know how much work that is to do 366 days of daily content? First off, doing it alone is hard. Doing it with someone else is a total other beast while operating your main channels mm-hmm. and then deleting.
That was what you said too. I remember it because I horribly mispronounced it and then turned it into a joke and looked like an idiot because everybody was like, yo, do you understand the weight of this project, you moron?
No, everyone. Did you do Uno Anus?
Yeah, something like that.
I was like, everyone does that. It's no big deal.
I sucked at it. But I remember him saying there was something beautiful in the art of deleting it and creating a moment that was so meaningful and so fleeting.
Yeah.
At the same time. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. it was something in that sense. And it's doing anything for that period of time, regardless of you deleting it thereafter, is crazy. Like, what was it like to finish that and then be like, was there like a breath of relief after that?
It was mixed emotions. Like, you do anything for a year and then you let it go. It's like killing your baby. It's hard. It's hard to let go. But the whole purpose of it was to let go. So we had all that runway to be able to prepare for the end of it. And honestly, when we got to the end of it, the day I walked into the set where we did the live stream, I was happy. I actually had a huge smile on my face, and it's mixed reaction because Ethan, the other guy who was a part of it, huge, like just as much as me. My girlfriend Amy was helping out. We had a team of editors and it was mixed. Like, some people were happy, relieved that it was finally done, sad that it was not going to go on anymore. And then
that reflected in the audience. And those mixed emotions was what I wanted. Like, I wanted people to care about something and then take it away. But in a way where a lot of YouTubers and creators and other people that make things on the internet, they eventually fizzle and they fade and they fall and it falters and it's not a clean end. It's just a very stretched out break, as opposed to something that is concise, clear, meaningful, and comes too soon. And that really creates this feeling of sadness, but profundity. I don't even know if that's a word.
I like it.
Makes it seem important. And that little moment when it deletes and the screen goes black and everyone just is like, oh God, it's actually over. That's beautiful.
I think as a creator that you're so much more evolved than I am, because I'm running myself through that scenario, man, and I just don't know if I'd have the heart to press delete on something I worked that hard for.
Yeah, that was really, a lot of people were like, are you actually going to delete it? Are you? But the trick is you make the decision before you even started it. Like, I would not have committed to it without that.
And no regrets.
No regrets.
Was it a deleted, or was it like an archive?
It is.
Do you have them on a file? Somewhere?
We have the video, yes.
I could just imagine you like sitting late at night with like some popcorn, just crying.
I mean, honestly, you're not wrong. There are people that obviously re-upload stuff and we try to take them down as best we can, but you know, there's only so much we can do on YouTube. It's huge. But occasionally I'll pull up like an old video and I'll watch it and I'll be like, those memories, they live in my heart forever. And the arduousness of that journey and the work that was put into it is what gave it meaning. If we'd only done one video a week, it wouldn't have meant as much. If we'd only done two a week, it wouldn't have meant as much. It was the fact that we did every day and we never missed a day. We were maybe like off by an hour on one or two days, but we made it every single day as best as we could.
Maybe you've already answered this in a roundabout way, but why?
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 It was really kind of a message to both my audience and actually to other creators in a way, because there's so many people out there that don't evolve, right? You evolve all the time. You've changed a whole bunch. You just signed with WWE. Did you? Was that real?
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's awesome. And it's like so many people don't try new things. They hold on to what is like in their hands and they hold on to that moment that gave them that beat of glory.
Mm.
And they think that if they keep up with what that was, they will ride that high for the rest of their life. And the problem is it never lasts. People will change. The viewers change. The creator themselves, they grow older. I'm growing older every day. If I don't age with my content, not that I really do. I made Pokemon Smasher Pass. Like,
I loved that video.
You love that video?
I loved it. I was one of those.
That was a shit out.
That was recently, like,
video.
Right?
Yeah, that was a few months ago.
Yeah.
Fans loved it.
It got over, it's like over 10 million.
So I'm
like,
Pokemon Smasher Pass, dude. Whether he'd fuck with certain Pokemon or not.
Yeah, I say that Smasher Pass to every single Pokemon in the group.
Do you watch like anime porn?
No.
Who's the hottest Pokemon?
Gardevoir.
I don't actually. No, I know what it is. It's hentai and I'm aware of it, but I don't watch it. I've actually recently tried to cut all porn out of my life.
Oh, good, dude. Smart.
Pin it.
I did.
You did?
Yeah, I did. I did a few years ago. The reason why is that when I've talked about this before, but short story is like it helps your relationship with your girlfriend, because I think whatever you're watching, it kind of stays with you. So if you're watching porn, you go to the next person, the next clip, the next clip, the next clip, and then you're fast forwarding, you're training your brain that you can only be satisfied if you're like changing your style of women. And so like, to be fair to my girlfriend, I wanted to like see if I could bring up the value of our sex. And it's tremendous, bro. It really does change you up a lot.
You're going through that many videos because you were like, the next video. Now, I make it through like 10 seconds, by the way, of like one video.
Oh,
you're
bro. Just, you're I just... like candles. I have a lotion. I have a blanket if it's fuzzy. I have my laptop, but it's streaming up there. Dude, I have my, you know, those little stickers that like glow in the dark, turn the mood lights on, let it flicker, 45 minutes. I even warm up like this.
45 minutes?
That's if it's like I have shit to do that day.
That's amateur hour.
That's what I'm saying. That's if I have shit to do today.
You're not going for the 3-hour marathon? You don't love yourself.
George watches porn for the story arc.
Oh, yeah, right, of course.
Yeah. I mean, I have to be invested. Like, why did it break in the first place for that man to fix it?
Yeah, absolutely.
How'd you get stuck in the washing machine?
why did you cut porn out? 3 hours a day was too much?
Who has that time? But honestly, it's like it's an ADHD thing. I've been doing more things to try to manage my ADHD and try to, because it's like what you were saying. It's a dopamine, like,
feeding frenzy. It was what you were saying. Dopamine feeding frenzy of just like the next thing, next thing. And that's like a lot of what ADHD is. It's not so much an inattention. It's always craving something more exciting than what's present. Little hits of dopamine constantly going forward.
It's also like a part of like an addictive personality as well. Yeah.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Yeah, exactly. I don't
have
really,
that gene.
I don't have a strong addictive personality, but then again, I did play World of Warcraft for like 10 years straight. So it's give or take on what it is.
Did you ever play RuneScape?
No.
All right.
I don't understand that.
I want to pin the World of Warcraft thing. We'll go on that in a second. But Dylan had a question I'm curious about too. Who is the hottest Pokemon?
Oh, what was it? It was that. Oh.
Gardevoir?
Or is it
were they hot? Like objectively, this is an attractive.
Yes.
Was one of the human kind of looking?
Yeah. Ones? Yeah. Okay. Some of them are too human. Right. God, I know. Man. Right.
Oh my god.
It's a problem.
Well, you know
what are they doing to me, man?
Well, you know about my relationship with hentai. That's always been like one of my the tentacles and the. Nah, forget it. You're I used to talk about this on the show a little bit, but we're back like episode 9.
Family,
like,
friends.
Yeah, we're brand out.
Where were we? I'm sorry.
Yeah, what was I talking
about? You were talking about why, I think.
Oh, right. Why?
And you mentioned Pokemon Smash or Pass. And
yeah.
Evolving with your content.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, right. So creators, they get in the cycle of like sticking to the one thing that made them famous, and they're afraid to let go of that. And in that fear, they never change who they are as a person. And their audience can see that. I'm not naming names here.
George. Nice to meet you.
A pleasure. I'm really glad you're going on this couch. It's really a problem. But their audience can see this. Like, yeah, I've been doing it 10 years now. How long have you been doing it? Like,
seven.
Okay. All right. Tough question. All right. but your audience grows, like they go through an entire high school, college phase.
Sure.
And they can see you. And if they don't see you change, then they see you stagnate and they see you like not evolving as a person. And so with Unisonus, it was like a message that you can have something, build it up, be super proud of it and let it go. Mm. The only way to move on and evolve as a creator or any kind of creative person is to let go of what you have made and release it into the universe and like just let it be. The moment that it was is what it was. It can never be replicated, but that moment was beautiful and it will live on in people's hearts. And people will be inspired by it to make more things. And as creators, that's what we do, whether we like it or not. It's not a grand mission statement. It doesn't really matter. But at the same time, the people watching us, you and me make things, all of us here on this couch, will take that to heart and they will want to. All the people that were like, I want to be a YouTuber. I want to be on TikTok. I want to be all these things. It's because they saw other people walk this path. Mm. All the people who do boxing now on YouTube is largely because of what you and KSI and all these boxers and your brother like have done. They want to do that. Like the creative clash happened. It was very cool. Mm. But it's like these things, they echo into what other people make. And so Unisonus is my little drop in the pond, the giant ocean of content creation. Just a little message to feel free to change. But also, what do I know?
It's so good. You've done a phenomenal job of evolving. I'm always impressed with the creators who can maintain relevancy for that long, because as you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And every year somehow I see you on the Forbes top paid list, highest earning influencers list. I have a stat here. Number 3 highest earning YouTuber, 38 million. But you don't lead with money.
No, not
you
really.
You just make money by default of
I hate to say it, but kinda, yeah. I don't focus on money first. It just so happens that like in my philosophy of how I create, I just so happen to find success. Also, my manager has made some decisions that are like, oh, it works. So it's one of those things. But at the same time, like with Unisonus, one of the sides that we don't talk about is that the merch side of it was incredibly successful. It was actually, I didn't even really want to do merch at first. I was like, oh, it's robbing from the meaning. And then the merch sales started going up. And it was like,
we should do merch.
There was a time during the live stream where it ended where we had bought, our merch company had bought every single black hoodie in America. Every single one at that time. It took 5 months to fulfill every order from that live stream.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Holy shit.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. And again, it's like I never in any way of this idea was money the first priority of it. And obviously, like I have enough money. I don't need more money. And I donate a lot of the money that I get to charity. But it's at the same time, these ideas that lean more into these creative and letting go and these kinds of things that are more one-off things and more catered towards an emotion and not really a payoff of like good content, they can be incredibly successful.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Business is your strategy.
Can you run me through your revenue streams?
My revenue streams?
Yeah.
An exact revenue.
And then
can
you your tax strategy?
Give me money.
I could. Are you needing help? I can help you. Is your addiction that bad? So there's my YouTube channel. There's like Cloak, Distractable, Go, various brand deals that I do.
No merch?
I give most of my merch that I do, that goes straight to charity.
Okay.
So I made that commitment like a few years ago.
Because you're on that list every year, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's hard to do as well.
Is it mostly ad rev? Is the majority of that ad rev?
Mostly ad rev, brand deals. I know there's something I'm forgetting, but again, this is like how not closely I look at the money.
Yeah.
I have investments that I make and they've done well. And it's like, I don't even know how they calculate that number because
I don't either.
I don't even follow it really.
No, I don't know how they, calculate. I think it might be on your tax returns.
Probably. Eventually. Yeah.
Is it public?
I think so.
It's just one of those things where I was like, I have enough. And basically my personal account, I pay myself through my company. And that's more than enough than I would ever need in my life. I said this while I was talking to Anthony Padilla, is just like, I make an ungodly amount of money and it feels unfair. And I'm open to talk about it because it just seems like such a cheat of the system to be able to have this much success when really all I want to do is make content and inspire others to make content. But at the same time, it's something I can't deny because to deny it would be a hypocritical thing to do. It's just stupid when I have what I have and I'm able to do what I do and I'm able to eat, have a roof over my head, able to do whatever I want, whenever I want. The next thing I do is just like give it away to people that need it or try to invest in my friends to be able to lift them up and hopefully they find success and other people that inspire me so that they can move forward. But again, it's like, it's at what point does it become too much?
What's your like living arrangement look like? You driving a Bugatti like to Beverly Hills every day? Or like,
I rode my electric bike here.
Oh, so you're the Elon Musk of the YouTube game. Do you live in a foldable container?
No. I have a nice house.
Okay.
Like I have a very nice house. I'm very happy with it. It's not a huge house, but it's not exactly a cheap house. I have a Tesla. So like most YouTubers do, and then, but that's about it.
You travel a lot or no?
No.
Oh, not into the traveling?
I work every day.
Seems like it. This is gonna be probably outdated by then. But we're talking about Tesla news just in now that Elon has told Twitter he's out.
I knew it.
So did I. How the fuck does he keep playing everyone? He literally has the world by its balls,
dude. When you got that much money, I guess
he's that guy.
He's that guy.
And looks like he's hyper reproducing.
Oh, he's got what, another 5-6 kids?
Just had twins with one of his execs.
You didn't see that?
I did. I missed that one.
Yeah. He's at nine. He's at nine children.
Oh, so whoa, yeah, because really? He's worried about the world and the humans going extinct.
I mean, personally.
I think we need his kids.
I see what he's doing, and I like it.
Yeah, it's like Angus Khan or Genghis Khan.
Genghis Khan.
Except for like not as, isn't it true malicious. That like a lot yeah. of people have like his bloodline? That's how many people he.
I've never looked into it, I think.
How many kids did Genghis Khan have?
Answer, there's like one out of seven people have his bloodline or something.
Thousands.
One out of seven?
Hold on.
A billion?
Be careful.
No. It's a lot. It's not that much. but yes, he hyper-reproduced. And I see what Elon's doing, and I don't mind it. We need more Elons. We need more use your moral compass in just the way you talk. You're so like on and I understand when you lead with that money just kind of happens because so few people have it. Have you always been just like a good guy? Have you had to have the failures that like most everyone else has to find yourself?
I think so. Yeah. There's a couple paths that my YouTube career could have taken at various points. You know, it's really, I think a lot of it was being raised by my dad. You know, he had a good moral compass. And I think like that, I took that in, but I was a shitty kid, you know, not that shitty, you know, not acting out or anything, but just like anger issues, just like pure rage inside me.
Really?
I could see it.
Oh yeah. Every time I was coming home, like at least once a week, I'd be punching my dashboard all the time. Just like for some reason, I was just so angry all the time. And I hated that about myself. And then my dad passed away when I was 18. And I really tried to, from that moment, because after that, I was so angry and just releasing and just like taking it out on everything around me. I never hit anyone. Well, I mean, at one point in high school, I broke someone's rib, but that was a totally different story. He deserved
it. Besides that guy.
Yeah. But it was one of those things where when you go through loss like that and you either go so many different ways, like it doesn't really matter. But then I had my own health crisis. Like I had a tumor in my adrenal gland and all of this rage did me nothing. It did me dick. It did me absolutely nothing. Helped no way. And I remember being on a table for a CAT scan and I was getting a biopsy, which is basically just being stabbed. And, you know, some guy's pushing maybe like about as thick as this cable here into my back, just like, and I like very little painkillers. And I'm just getting stabbed on that. And I said, oh my God, this is real. This ain't a joke. And then I got the tumor removed. It was non-cancerous, thankfully. And then I was just in the hospital. I was like, holy shit, I have done nothing to control the course of my life. I've done absolutely nothing. And I, from that moment on, I was in my fourth year of engineering school. I was like, I need to do something that I actually appreciate and I enjoy. And that's when I started doing YouTube.
Wow.
Another one of those moments.
Yeah.
The ones we've been talking about all day, those like, oh shit moments in your life. It's, it's wild how those like brushes with mortality especially are big moments for people to realize, yo, I want to start doing something that makes me happy, makes me feel like I'm making a difference in the world of some kind.
Yeah.
I think it's because people are broken. I think they kind of just with their bottom, they're at their most humble. They're like, all right, I can't go any lower. Like there's no way out. And you just really just take your ego out of it and you see it for what it is.
But yeah. Mark, did you see someone making YouTube videos that you wanted to emanate or emulate, or did you just leap of faith completely?
No, absolutely. And this is kind of the craziest thing, because right now I'm working an internship at Corridor Digital. Do you know those?
Yeah,
guys over there?
Of course.
I'm in their office
as an intern.
I'm their intern now.
No way.
And that's the thing, is just like I can do whatever I want. Yeah. So I decided like I want to work with these guys because they, Freddie Wong, like all of those VFX videos, those were the videos that I love.
Same.
And I was like, that is inspiring. And I'm not doing the same thing, but the sheer fact that I saw something that I loved and I'm like, holy shit, these guys are making stuff on the internet. And now I'm able to, and I've met Nico and Sam before, but now I'm working with them in their office, just helping out. I did their dishes before I left. Like, but I don't care, because it's just being that environment, in that environment around people that inspired me, learning from other people, trying to learn new skills about VFX, which I don't know anything about, trying to learn Unreal Engine 5, trying to learn all this new technology for creating even bigger projects. I don't have an idea of what I want to do with it, but I know that if I learn it, I'll get an idea when I see what it's capable of. And it's just like, that is super cool right now.
You're making $35 million a year and you're washing people's dishes.
Yeah.
That's a great mindset.
Are you trying to get hired? Are you trying to get hired? Have you asked them?
No. They couldn't afford me.
you're fascinating, man. It's so cool. But how do you not approach that position as the creator you are? Like how much of a student are you really? Or sometimes if you see them do something that you wouldn't do, are you giving input?
It's an exchange. Yeah. I'm giving input on basically my philosophy of creation. Like I, as much as I say, I'm like purely about the emotional aspect of it. I'm pretty good at clickbait, thumbnails, yeah, all the metadata shit. I don't usually play that game, but I can. So I'm able to contribute in ways if they want to be algorithmically successful. But at the same time, they do teach me a ton of stuff. There's stuff in terms of visual production and VFX that learning it helped me with the production of my YouTube original show, because I was able to communicate with the VFX supervisor and actually ask for things that weren't going to be ungodly expensive or take way too long. So it made the process able to really hone in on what I wanted to accomplish with the budget that we had. And so these tools that people might think are not worth learning, like I always like, I pursue learning all kinds of different things because I don't.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Know where it's going to be useful, you know. So it's fun. Like that's really it.
But time, man. Like you said to Mike, you work every day, mm-hmm. and you obviously have this crazy work ethic. But how do you determine if something is even worth your time to learn something? Like, can't you just hire a VFX guy and give the notes afterwards?
Because to me, it doesn't really matter. I pursue things that I like, and that's kind of guided me the entire way. But I would say, in hiring a VFX guy, how are you going to know if he's good? Mm. How are you going to know if he's going to be able to execute your vision appropriately? How is he when he talks to you and talks about like, oh, we need this physics simulation, da, 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 3D model, and then we're going to do a scan of your body. Like, how do you know he's not bullshitting you?
Mm.
Yeah, that's going to cost you time, and nothing is more valuable than time. I'm all about efficiency in terms of everything I do.
Yeah, you mentioned the engineering background. I'm sure that probably has something to do with it. What branch did you?
Biomedical engineering.
Biomedical engineering.
Yeah.
So you're basically like a genius.
No.
I mean, but you are. Yeah, you probably are, man.
The thing is, like, I'm not a believer in genius, right? I don't think that genius is real. I think people can be very smart in very particular things. I think that people can be really imaginative. I think people can be really good at math. But it's like sectors. There's like a circle. And, you know, you push in one direction.
We talk about this all the time. I think genius is always based on a certain vertical. Very few people are like multi-spectrum geniuses.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, what are you a genius at?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Because genius implies perfection. And I don't believe anyone's perfect. And it's like, if someone, you call someone a genius, it gives them an excuse. Like, oh, don't worry. He's just a genius. You got to excuse all of his other shitty problems. And it's like, that's not a good person. Like a holistic person cannot be perfect in every aspect. There's always flaws. There's always, I have flaws. We all have flaws. You have so many flaws. But it's like, yeah.
You know what? I've never got insulted with such a sexy voice. I wasn't even offended. I was like, he's talking to me.
You can be fixed. You still have hope.
Thank you so much.
Are you Keanu Reeves?
No.
What if he just went like this?
Have you had
Keanu? He doesn't have to do that.
No.
We love Keanu though. And I think everyone does.
Yeah. Can you say, whoa?
Whoa.
Dude, you're fucking Keanu Reeves.
Where did the voice come from? Because that's a big thing.
Voice?
Your voice. Yeah, why is it like that?
I think vocal cords. I don't know. My dad.
It's just perfect.
Yeah. That's bullshit, bro. You know he practices this shit at home. He's like, well. Like, dude, I'm mad. Like, no, like I'm gonna get a little gross, but I kind of want to hear you orgasm, bro. Like, what are you selling? Oh, oh. Yeah.
I've arrived. No, I was just thinking it's you know, just like genetics, I guess.
But admit you lean into it a little bit, huh?
Not really.
But you have that mic and got that studio, so it's extra crispy.
If I wanted to really,
go. Yeah, you do that.
Do you get asked to do voice stuff?
I mean, on occasion, but you know, they're not banging down my door to do voice stuff.
Markiplier, dwarf voiceover.
Dude, you do have a voice for radio, podcast, anything.
Oh, thank like, you.
Yeah, he just has the face for radio.
Yeah.
He's
like
a voice for radio.
Yeah. Very funny.
Do you wake up, a lot of days and like, say you're having a bad day. Like, do you ever wake up and you're just like, dude, I have way more subscribers than Logan Paul. Like, is that like a thing?
Every single day I check just to see how many away.
Oh man.
No, not at all. I stopped looking at subscribers way, way, way long ago.
I have to be honest with you. Again, I said this game for the real ones is a fucking marathon and a long one, not a sprint.
Yeah.
And I'm always curious who's going to make it. And you continue to surprise me with your growth, man. In your opinion, what is it about the things that you make that resonates with an audience and that makes them keep coming back to your content year after year after year?
I don't know. I thought I would have been dead by now. Like, seriously, I don't know how I'm here. It's just like, I just keep trying new things. I try to surprise them. I insult my audience all the time. You know, they're just a bunch of shitheads. You know who you are. But I love them, you know, and that's, it's just like, I think they know that the moment that I stop having fun making videos is the moment that I stop. And like, that's just how it is. For me, the moment, like the numbers don't matter to me because I like making videos. I like making content. And that's impossible to be, that's impossible to fake.
100%. Especially for as long as you have.
Exactly. You can fake it for a year, but then people start to see through, like cracks appear everywhere, always. You cannot hide it. You can't be perfect. No one can. Everything erodes. It's just time kills everything.
Sounds like a scene from The Matrix, man. You got something to tell us?
You well, are you?
Well.
Pulls out pills. We're like, fuck.
What I find interesting, though, is a lot of super successful YouTubers have been making videos for the majority of their life. Were you before you dropped out of college, or did you just pick up a camera and you're like, you know what? I actually do like filming myself and putting it online.
No, that's the thing. I started out like, I want to be a YouTuber. Yeah. And then I got a camera. I've spent $500 on a Canon T2i. Yeah. I was like, I didn't even know how to use it.
Of course.
So I returned. And then I just like, okay, Fraps is a free program that records games. I'm going to download that. I got a $50 microphone. Here we go. I didn't even have a camera like in my first few videos.
Wow.
Because I did not know what to do. I had not picked up a camera in my entire life until that moment.
That's insane. Your story is vastly different in that regard. Mm-hmm. But then did you fall in love with it? Mm-hmm. And if so, again, you've already answered this, but it wasn't because of the numbers or the results, because a lot of people will then be motivated by the views and the subscribers. But then you fell in love with the process of creation after the fact.
I'm not going to deny the numbers are great. People paying attention to you. I was a fucking nerd. I was untalkative my entire time. You know, I lost my virginity way late in life.
How old?
You know, I think 21. Yeah, because I was like all leading up to my 21st birthday. I was like, I want to lose my virginity before I can drink. Come on. And then it didn't happen. So, but then finally one night later. But the thing is, like, I had no ambition to be a YouTuber up until that moment. And it was just like, it was one thing. My brother told me that people played video games online and they recorded themselves and they started YouTube channels with that. And I was like, I can do that. I can play video games. And then, it just like, I started making videos and people saw my channel. And yes, it's intoxicating. Like the idea that people actually appreciate what you make. So yes, it's enticing. And I think every YouTuber who finds success feels that. And it's a trap that you can fall into. And I almost fell into it many, many times. Sure. And so many people, you know, they fall in and out. And it's just one of those things where you start to believe in the God that you are and that people say you are. But the thing is, nowadays, I don't read comments much. I do occasionally. But bad comments don't bother me because they don't know me. But the other side is that good comments don't bother me either. I don't even think about them because they don't know me either.
For sure.
So what they're saying is just as much of a lie as the bad comments. So it doesn't matter either one because either of them don't matter to my mission of making content. And it's taken me a long time to get to this point.
That's an evolved creator thought. That's an evolved creator thought. And it's super healthy when you're in that space because nothing bothers you. You realize it's all just noise, chatter, keyboards. Like at the end of the day, you know who you are. You know what you're doing. You know what you love.
Yeah.
And nothing's going to affect that.
Mm-hmm.
What do I want to mention here?
I was going to ask, did that initial like feeling of people accepting you and create credibility that created more confidence for you to create? So like, do you think you needed that? Because I look at a lot of these like upstart creators who, you know, are on that grind and don't, and it takes a little bit longer for them to get that bump of success that acts as that fuel, as that credibility. What do you say to those people or like, or what was the ride like for you and what did that create for you, from like a confidence standpoint?
It can be a trap, I would say. Because the confidence that instilled in you, if it's propped up by what other people say, it's just as fragile as it ever was. And you can fall even harder than before. I would say that it's not new territory to find the surge. But the problem is, and this is what I actually feel bad about new creators compared to like when I or when you started, is the rise is meteoric. Mm. And then it gets stronger every single year. It's these people that blow up, they just launched into the stratosphere of sudden fame and fortune. It can destroy someone who hasn't had a longer curve to be able to get used to it and feel the pitfalls and see other people who've gone through the pitfalls. But at the same time, it's beneficial because they can fall back and see other people that have gone the pitfalls. They can learn from the mistakes of the past. So it all balances out.
It's happening, I think, more on TikTok than any other platform.
Yeah.
I mean, man, some of these TikTok stars, and we knew that it would happen and it's happening as we speak, but
well, like gone.
Yeah, but you just blow up too quick, and then what? Now where are you?
Like, yeah.
And
how do you pivot? You know, that's the other thing.
Attitude's a big thing too. So like, I feel like the faster, the cockier for some reason. I don't know if that's a thing.
Well, no, because it's like, I'm better than everyone else. I hit this metric before anybody else hit this one faster than everybody. And yes, it's true because it will always be true. But at the same time, it can give like each new generation. And I've got no problem with like new generations of creator. I'm all about it. But it's just like it gets the ego grows and grows. It's like, you know, you started out on Vine, right?
Yeah.
It's funny because my girlfriend went to OSU. You were at OSU.
OU
at the same time. And she says she was only there for a year, but she's like, I remember Logan Paul, like just running around the campus filming Vines.
I'm
like,
sorry.
No, it's totally fine. It's like, really cool. Like it's because I'm from Ohio as well. Like I'm Cincinnati based.
Oh, no
like,
way.
Why is every creator from Ohio?
Oh, hell yeah.
Why is that?
And they're great. They're great.
They're all great, dude. Great.
It's in the water.
It's in the water. It's like this water right here. Delicious prime that you can find
it?
I have actually
here
never
we go.
Tried it. This is an honest review. If it's shit, I'm going to spit it in your face. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's my God.
Wow. I love you, Mark. Thank you, man.
Only 20 calories. 10% coconut water. This is incredible.
Keep going.
If only I could get this at a store near me.
Walmart, Target, Kroger, CVS, Vitamin Shop, GNC. Wow. Now Sam's Club multi-packs.
And if you're in the UK...
Asda now, yeah.
Wow.
Dude, thank you.
Oh, we have them in Arizona now.
Yeah, man. The Walmart's, Target's in Arizona.
I mean, like they're always sold out and now like they're opening up more and more stores.
Oh, so people aren't buying them anymore?
No, they're like buying them, putting them in mom and pop shops. Like I went to Sean O'Malley's place and all these stores had them in their front windows to just show people that they have them.
They're upselling.
Yeah,
they're really, buying from Target and charge like
the resellers?
Mm. Yeah.
Your girlfriend now went to OU?
I think so, yeah.
How long have you guys been dating?
This will be 7 years later this year.
Shit.
You gonna propose soon?
Nah. Can't talk about that.
Okay. So interesting though. No, I was that kid in college because for me it was a bit of a playground for my media ascent.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of all I treated it as. Like everyone at that school to me was a stranger. That was subject to content that I wanted to make. I thought that it was a fun place to do that. You know, anyone who does like man on street style videos is like that. You went to college for 4 years and you could see it just, you're educated. And in just the way you talk, everything you do is you're very smart about it. And I'm curious what you think of the current state of YouTube, having seen it all. like where we are at right now, where I'm not sure stories are leading anymore. I think the algorithm is in an interesting spot.
Oh, yeah. If you want to talk about that, yeah, absolutely. The algorithm dictates what people see. It's worse on TikTok because the algorithm is God on TikTok. The For You page, like even I on TikTok, only go by the For You page. I don't follow anybody. I don't need to because it shows me what I love.
So good.
It's great. YouTube, it's in its current state, it's good in a way for the individual creator to better leverage monetization tools to be able to sustain their creativity, right? You've got so many different ways, like with ad revenue, ad rates are going up. You've got like the super chat, super whatever the thanks thing. And then you've got integrated shop, like merch shop in there. There's a lot of tools for people to get up off the ground with less follower base yep. than when I started, right? So people can leverage their creativity and sustain it better. That being said, because of the way the algorithm works, it is harder for people to give that word of mouth kind of shareability because usually someone doesn't have to tell their friend, did you see that video? Because the algorithm pushed it to everybody at the same time.
Yep.
So there's less reliance on that kind of, and then everyone can kind of find their own thing. I think YouTube could do with a curation tool with like some way for the community to create a sub channel that's like, I pick these good videos. If you subscribe to my channel, these are my recommendations. Maybe do a tiny revenue split with them.
Oh, interesting.
Because that would be a view I would never get if someone suggested that on their channel for my video. It's like, that's fair. You earn that, like a few percent of the revenue.
Yeah.
A way for the community without having to make things. And then they could do they've got the cutting feature in YouTube now to create compilations. Like people rip videos and upload them anyway. Why not bake it into the system so that you enable people to make some money off of it and really get some creativity in the editing part of it. But it gives all the credit and most of the revenue to creators, but it allows people to actually be like, okay, the algorithm isn't God. Here's what's actually a good video.
100%.
Yeah.
I'm curious what you're watching. Like, are you consuming content?
Oh yeah. All this every day.
What kind of stuff?
Right now it's electric unicycle video.
One more time.
Electric unicycle videos. Yeah.
Can you ride a unicycle?
No, God no, but I bought one.
Electric?
Yeah.
You bought electric unicycle?
You can go 35 miles.
I did not know that there was a... Please,
man. No, they like people transport themselves.
Oh, wait, hold up. I know those. Yeah. You got one?
I bought one, yeah.
Cool.
It hasn't come in yet. It comes Sunday.
Very cool.
Yeah. Very excited.
Just you're preparing, watching videos.
I'm
going to
die.
Just...
Yeah, don't do that.
Is the one you're standing or is it you're sitting?
Okay, so there's two types of electric one-wheel device. One is called the one-wheel and it's like a skateboard type thing. Yep. The other is literally a unicycle. It's got the one I got is a 2,200-watt motor with like ungodly number of batteries and go 35 miles an hour. That's the low end.
I saw... A TikTok,
yeah.
By the way, again, the TikTok algorithm, godly.
That's
the For You page is so good.
Yeah.
Of someone charging one of those things up a hill, and they are so powerful. He was getting so high up this hill, but then the thing just would fall back down, and it's strong and durable.
Yeah.
But just as it's rolling down the hill,
oh my God.
I don't know where I'm going with the story.
No,
but look where it led us. It's a great place. I mean, we're talking about electric unicycles.
Oh God, I saw a video of someone wiping out at 45 miles an hour, just like the thing just goes because there's barely any suspension, and his chest just hit the ground. Like,
no, I almost killed myself on a one wheel.
Oh my God.
So this is not what you got, obviously, but when you go up the hill on the one wheels, you have to you have to babysit it back a little bit because. Yeah. If you get to a point where the hill is too much of a grade and obviously you push forward to propel yourself, the older ones didn't have a sensor on them that would say, hey man, you're about to dig the nose of the board into the ground. So I'm going like, I don't know, probably 20 plus miles an hour, obviously no fucking helmet like a moron. Uh-huh. And I dig the front end into the ground, propel myself face first into the cement and just ran the whole side of my face and my legs into the ground. It was quite... I had a great little raspberry.
Yeah, he took a tumble.
Dude. Yeah.
My buddy Ren, he's
at his house years back. I'm still working on the lawsuit.
My buddy Ren, he's at Corridor. He's actually right now, there's a one wheel world championship.
Yeah.
And he is in it right now. Dude, he's really
good. What's the criteria?
You just be good enough and brave enough to go down their trails.
Fast.
Oh, yeah. Speed downhill. Oh, Lord. Like just crazy long, crazy obstacles. He once fell off and exploded his shoulder.
Yeah, nah.
Literally, he hit on his elbow and it exploded his shoulder.
Oh, my God.
He got back on the board. The doctor said, no one wheeling. He hops on 2 weeks later, falls off, explodes his collarbone. Like
those things may be the most dangerous.
Wait, hold on. What? At what point do you not list, like, why?
I don't know.
That's silly.
This guy, has broken 17 bones in his life.
I am not like that. I have PTSD from falling. Mm-hmm. I had the speed wobble incident on the long board going 30, like pulled my hip flex. God, I just can't get back up. I respect the superior athlete.
It's why I don't motorcycle. I had one at one point and I was lane splitting up 405 and there was a big ass bus in the carpool lane. And then there was this giant semi in the left lane. I don't know why I was there, but I was lane splitting and there's just a bus mirror right here. And I'm just like, where do I go? If I wobble, if I fall, I'm going right under the semi wheel. So I just tuck my head as far under my elbow as possible and hope that I don't hit the mirror. And I didn't, but I drove home after that and I sold my bike.
Wow. Oh like, my God. That was ridiculous.
It was too close.
My brother's extremely reckless. We grew up riding dirt bikes, mm-hmm. ATVs, everything. And he got a crotch rocket in his adulthood here in LA and would ride it religiously, can do wheelies. Like was
great.
He was learning to go down that path.
Yeah.
And one day got in an accident. Thank God everything was okay. But slid his bike like 40 feet and then ended up fucking just slamming into a car. Came home limping, like all his shit is fucked up, and never got on a bike after that again.
Yeah, no, you have that one cool. But I love the electric bike. Like my electric bike, it's just
which one did you ride here?
I got the Super 75.
Oh, those things are
so good.
Like four. Yeah, so fun.
So good.
I rode it from downtown. I've gone 26 miles a day on it. Just today.
Oh, those are like manageable. Those things they go what, like 435?
This one goes about like maybe 34.
Yeah,
on
like
roads.
That's the one that you had. Those are amazing.
Incredible.
You could go on like dirt. I mean, I don't know about yours, but his, we could take it off-roading. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was just
mine's beautiful. Got dual suspension. It's fantastic. I love that thing.
Where do you live?
I live over in north of Glendale.
Okay, cool. You just take that thing everywhere?
Yeah, pretty much now. I got it 2 weeks ago. I put 260 miles on it.
So cool.
Dude, I love it.
I'm sorry, what?
It's so fun.
You take
it's
it
so
everywhere.
I take it everywhere. Utah. Yeah. I just love the thing.
I don't even think I did that with my car.
Get out more. Stop looking to pour so much and get out of your house.
Go do something, Jordan.
Can we talk about video games?
I was just going to say that.
I just want to talk about video games.
Let's talk.
Talk to me about your video game journey. Where did it start? Where is it now? What's your top Call of Duty of all time if you have one? Did you play Metal Gear Solid? Let's talk about video games, man.
Do you like Fortnite?
Nick, stop.
Sorry.
Some part of it, I guess. No, I started on Doom. I got started way early. I was 5. My dad got Doom for the PC, ancient DOS, put in the floppy disk and everything, and I was just blowing up demons, blood everywhere. It was great.
Duke Nukem?
Hell yeah.
Dude,
oh my God.
We should not have been playing those fucking
games. You know that the ray that makes them grow and explode?
Yep.
That traumatized me forever. If there's a movie with a character like, I can't watch it. It's just like not okay.
What was the game where it was like an animal would walk across and then you have to shoot it?
Frogger.
No.
What was it?
No. Duck Hunt. Talking about Duck Hunt?
No, it was like that took me to say. No, they're like deers and shit.
Deer Hunter.
Buck Hunt.
Yes.
Oh, the arcade game.
Yeah, that's in
No, but it was on a desktop.
Oh.
But it was like the only game that I ever
We're talking about some real shit right now, man.
I played RuneScape, but nobody here.
No, no one wants to mine for rocks right now. That's what you do in RuneScape. You mine for rocks.
No,
we're talking about
you're a knight and you shine and you can make armor. I take that shit seriously.
Is right, George. You're being an asshole.
Yeah.
I'm not being an asshole.
You
I like RuneScape. It was an amazing.
No, RuneScape's a great game.
Back to what Mark said. You have many flaws,
but you can be fixed. That was the other half of it. You have hope. It may not seem like you have hope, but you do.
Dude, what, listening to you say it, I feel like I have hope.
Good.
I played World of Warcraft.
You did?
Dude, Shocker.
No way.
Addicted.
Oh my God, it was the worst. Yeah. I almost flunked out of college.
I was going to say, did it affect your real life?
It really, really did. It like hampered my entire social life, but it was worse for a friend that I introduced. Me and my buddy Bobby,
turned someone on to drugs.
Oh my God.
That's how it works.
Wait, what's wrong with it?
That's how it works. You turn everyone around you, closest friends, onto it.
This is why it's
bad. We hadn't seen this guy for 3 years, but we all had a big meetup. We're like, we're going to B-Dub. Let's get some wings. Me and Bob get there, and then this guy shows up. Two wrist braces from double carpal tunnel. Unable to flex his pinky fingers anymore. Just like really bad shape. And it's because he literally plays World of Warcraft every day.
Oh my God.
Like, always. Wait,
how
like
does
this.
He eat and like stuff? Like, how does he make his elbows?
He, can't, he has.
No, no. I'm saying like, does he have a job? Like, is like for that to be a thing?
Oh, I don't know, man. I really don't know.
He uses his feet.
Man, that game is tough. What is it about World of Warcraft that you just got so sucked in?
I don't know. You know, you start to get good, and then it's like I got in a guild, and then a better guild, and then the better gear.
The
and
guilds.
Then we were number one on the server, and then I realized I was staying up to 2 a.m. just playing a game. And
yep.
I was like, oh.
That was it. I was 13 years old. It's 7 a.m. For the first time, I had seen the sun rise from being up all night. And then my guild kicked me out. I was crying. On the floor as a 13-year-old, like throwing a tantrum by myself. And I realized, like, this is pathetic.
But in the moment, also some of the most important times of your life. Like, if you think about the good, like, for me, it was Call of Duty, Black Ops 2, and Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah.
Like, some of the best times of my life was with my homies.
I had playing fun. That game. I had fun playing like, those ones. For sure, it was a blast.
Oh, it was wild. Not like you don't have fun like that.
It was just stressful. So intense. Like, I really cared. Like, that character, Slaber, level 70, no mage, Burning Crusade. Like,
did you have money and finances in there or no?
So then I went to the private server.
Oh.
Did you ever?
No, I did a little bit, but it was not the same, you know?
Gotcha. I bought all the upgrades.
No, I'm talking about, did you guys have like a bank and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, my friend on that game was the richest person on the server. This guy ran the auction house.
Oh, that's so cool. Did he buy and sell?
Oh, yeah. He bought everything and sold everything.
Yeah. I knew people were treating it like stockbrokers. Yeah. They would play it.
It's insane.
I've never played this game, but in my version of it, I learned how to rob people and scam people. So, like, I know that sounds really fucked up. I would never do that in real life, but I didn't know because I grew up realizing how addicting it was. To me, it wasn't that big of a deal. So when I was stealing like millions from people's accounts, I later on in life, I was like, well, I wonder if I fucked somebody up mentally. Cause like I would like making money in there was really hard. And I found a way to really take their money. I would
in RuneScape?
Yeah.
Like how? Oh, cause I played RuneScape.
So for example, I would have another guy that I know, but he would be like pretending like he didn't know. I'm like selling a RuneScape, whatever, right? You go to the auctions where you could sell stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I would get him and a guy that I don't know. And I'm like, all right, guys, I'm gonna teach you how to double your finances, but you gotta promise me I won't teach you anybody. And they're like, what? So we go around the castle and I'd be like, I'll teach it to this guy. And this guy, watch me make this guy money by dropping money. And then hitting F12, so it shut their server down. They didn't even know which world it were. So they would leave all their money on the ground and I would take it.
Yeah.
And one day I made like 6 million, which it would take me like 10 years to do that.
Good.
I wasn't scamming.
Do you still think there's hope with the flaws?
Not anymore.
Well, tell me about it.
Yeah.
Damn, bro. You were just robbing RuneScapers?
Did you guys ever play Counter-Strike?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Honestly, I shot that out to distract. I didn't think you would actually.
How did you get out of
WoW prison?
Just any video game addiction, because it can seriously get addicting. It's such a fun world when you're in that space. But how do you remove yourself and have a healthy relationship with video games?
The thing about it is, like, you know, if you work at your favorite restaurant, you don't eat the food anymore. I make video game videos for a living. So I don't really play it. Most recently was Elden Ring. I played a ton of that. I love that game.
Got huge.
But at the same time, it's like, even now, I haven't played a game in weeks for myself. I have casually, once Elden Ring was done, I just didn't do anything. And that's why I'm kind of sad, is because that was a huge part of my life. And now it's like all about content creation. And that's cool and all. But I do miss some of those moments, like what you were saying.
So good.
Some of the good memories of just like sitting in my basement, in my mom's basement, playing World of Warcraft, just killing a dragon. Things were very simple. And I think you could probably attest to this. Things are very complicated now. And that's not as fun as the simplicity of running around campus making vines sometimes. Like, those were the pure good days. And now it's not that it's worse now, but it is much more complicated.
You just know more. You've seen more. There's more stuff going on in your brain. So much noise.
No. Do you think we like? It's called George's burger flipping moment at Five Guys. He talks about it all the time. He was so happy, just flipping the fucking burger. Like, can we go back? Should we?
I think you can, and I've been on it. I've been like at my happiest stage in a very long time, and I swear it's just disconnecting from things that really bring you that toxic energy,
like the impulsive group chat.
Just you guys in general.
No, man.
Would you ever go on, like, because people do get addicted to video games, and like video games are villainized by people. Would you ever think about going on like a late night show potentially to defend video games?
I feel like I got better things to do than defending.
Wait, hold on. Did you go on Kimmel?
I haven't been on an interview with Kimmel, but you know, I've been on a show talking about video games, doing that thing.
Oh.
Defending of the video games. Yeah. But defending of Let's Plays is specifically was, cause he was like, he didn't understand people. Why would you watch a game? But it's like, why would you watch people play sports? It's like everyone can play a game. Everyone kind of likes to watch people.
Can I be honest with you?
Yes.
I thought the same thing. Oh man, I'm going to get fried for this one. I'm sorry to all the streamers and people who watch people stream. If someone pitched me Twitch a decade ago, I would have said, why would anyone watch anyone else play video games when I could just play myself? Right? I never understood it until I saw Ninja play.
Uh-huh.
And he was so fucking good. And Fortnite, I found way more entertaining. I don't know what it is about Fortnite in particular that was easy for me to like watch. Even when you played.
I'm fucking good.
I watch.
He actually is good.
I've never won.
It's a secret, bro. I'm a ninja.
Never won.
See, wait, are you good at video games? You just play them?
No, I mean, certain video games I'm good at. Platformers, I'm amazing at.
Does your girl play as well? I always wonder how that affects real relationships.
Just different games, you know.
How'd you guys meet?
She's from Cincinnati as well. So it was like, one day I was back home. It was Tinder, but it's just like... that's a long story, but it's like we met.
And, it's okay. I'm fucked up. I'm working on myself.
But we didn't start dating there. She was actually went to Emerson after OU and then was out here during a time when I was having a bad year.
Yeah.
And so that's how we met. But it was, what were we just saying?
I don't know, bro, but you strike me as a real put together guy. Wait, did you want to hit something?
Do you want to hit me?
Probably
George, I would say.
I think should hit me. No, I feel better.
Do you want to touch on something that we mentioned?
What were we just talking about?
I don't know, because I have something.
Okay, no, you go for it.
I was going to say, you seem like a pretty put together guy, right?
Mm.
But I want to know the fucked up Mark.
Okay.
I want to know the other side of Mark, right? Like, you ever drink, man? You ever smoke some weed and have a good time?
Man, no. Oh, and this sucks. So I smoke weed sometimes, but I don't really like the feeling of it. But I can't drink because the last time I drank, I had a heart attack.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So I'm half Korean, right? So I get the Asian flush. But I get it real bad. Like I got it from my mom. She takes one tiny sip of wine and like just red as a beet. And for me, it was fine. I was like, I'll manage it. The other half's German. They drink whatever.
Yeah.
But one night, it's really late, and I hadn't had that much. But it's like that whole week, I'd have a few drinks that night, like three beers a night. That's it. But this night, I was drinking. I go to the bathroom. I feel dizzy. I'm like, that's weird. Dizziness doesn't go away. Next thing I know, I wake up on the bathroom floor. I had apparently hit my lip on the way down on the bathtub. To my buddy, who is holding my head with a bottle of water, practically waterboarding me, like, oh, I wake up. And I didn't know what happened. I had the whole thing of my left arm hurt. And I'm like, this is weird. They call an ambulance. I'm like, sorry, guys, this is silly. You know, it's crazy. I get in the ambulance to drive me in the hospital. I'm like, ah, man, I'm so sorry. I'm wasting your time like this. And then the machine that I'm hooked up to goes start going, do, 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 do. And he looks over and he's like, you feeling okay? And I'm like, no, did you mention it? No. And he's like, yeah, you're having a heart attack. And then I just go, like, just out. And it was because of the drinking. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
How much had you drank then?
Three beers. The thing about it is with the Asian flush, it's not everybody. I'm not saying that no Asian should drink ever, but for me particularly, it drained my magnesium. So heart needs magnesium to pump and a few other nutrients. And so it just caused syncope, which is just fainting because the heart was not able to get enough blood to my brain. And then
how old were you when that happened?
This was 6 years ago.
Okay, but you hadn't drank up until that point?
I drank, yeah.
Oh, and that time it was like, yeah. Okay. And you're just unwilling to go back?
Yeah, it was a heart attack.
It's not worth it.
No, not really.
You're unwilling to kill yourself.
Hold on a second. He survived.
I did. Yes.
I don't think it's one you risk again.
Yeah, no. Once is enough. Actually, I had two that night, so two is enough. Yeah, I'm good.
Two heart attacks in one night?
Yeah.
That's too many.
You had two heart attacks?
Yeah, because one that made me pass out in the bathroom, and then one in the ambulance on the way to the hospital.
Oh my God. Mm.
Double trouble.
I do see what you're saying.
Were you doing other unhealthy stuff at the time? Were you eating a lot of hash browns? Just like, or like fatty foods, I guess. Sorry.
I mean, sure.
I have a lot of flaws.
I still do. And not as many flaws.
Yeah, that's my thing, man.
Sorry. I went straight to the hash browns.
My thunder,
I
bro.
Love hash browns so much. My company is called Hash Brown Media. I love hash browns.
I know. I love hash browns. I just didn't know where it came from.
My company's called Bacon Wrap Scallops.
Oh,
I had some at Johnny's wedding, and the girl who came out, she gave me an hors d'oeuvre.
Yeah.
And she's like, bacon wrap scallops? And I was like, oh, my LLC is called bacon wrap scallops. And she goes, okay.
I don't care.
Anyways, yeah, you have any hash browns?
Not on me, no. Oddly enough.
If you had a hash brown on you.
What if you just pulled it out of effect? What movie is that where you pulled? Oh, God.
Yeah, man, no one knows.
A ton of flaws. Yeah. just at what point is it more flaws than none? That's why we love
Napoleon Dynamite.
You did it. Tater tots, though.
That means if you squish them and then they could look like that.
No, man.
I have problems.
I know.
you do look fit, though.
Oh, thank you.
Are you working out?
I am again now. So I had worked out with a personal trainer for like a year and a few months, and then I fell completely out of it because I was doing my YouTube original and just like I had no time for it. That's an excuse. I'm sorry, Alex.
I don't think it is.
I think it is.
I think working that hard in a creative pursuit and also doing physical is incredibly difficult.
Yeah, it was tough. But I got back into it recently. The biking is helping and tremendously.
But it's electric.
I still pedal.
Okay.
So like,
but it has that push.
Look, I'm trying, man.
you're cheating.
Yeah, no, it helps. And that's what's
feel great. Good when people grill you, doesn't it? Yeah.
No, it's just that little bit extra. So it's like I feel more active. I'm getting, well, not fresh air. Downtown, I rode through it. Oh, God, it stinks.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea I was in my car. My LA, Model man. X with like the HEPA filter in there. The bio mode. I had no idea.
Yeah.
But no, just getting a little exercise, working out with my trainer. So I'm getting back into it.
The arms are looking beefy, dude.
Thank you.
Oh, they are. What are you doing in the, you're doing obviously free weights and stuff with the trainer?
I lift something up. I do whatever he tells me. I don't know what I'm doing half the time. Like he knows best. I'll just do what he does. And then that's the end.
Shout out Alex, dude. It's working.
Yeah, Alex. Thank you, Alex.
Alex.
His trainer.
Yeah, that's my trainer.
Oh.
You didn't catch that.
Alex Fine?
No.
Oh, that would be crazy.
That's what I thought. That
dude, he's got a crazy trainer named Alex Fine, dude. He's cool. A legend. Yeah. He's stuck and it happens. Hold on, let me get the USB port. Hold on one second.
Yeah. Are you ever going to box?
No. Here's the thing. I don't want to get punched in the face.
Okay.
No.
Such a good reason.
I'd thought about it. I messaged you a while back when you were like, hey, let's do a wrestling thing. I was like, hell yeah, do wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I wrestled. I quit freshman year, so I'm not very good. But it was like, fuck it. For a YouTube thing, I'll do it. But it's just like with boxing, I actually do follow boxing. Like,
oh, cool.
Not a lot, but I watch fight breakdowns. I've watched fights before. I like boxing. I respect boxing. And I know how dangerous it can be for someone who doesn't really know boxing to get in a ring and actually box. It's why, like, going into the Creator Clash, I was kind of like a little nervous because I'm like, oh shit, if someone actually does get hurt, it's not gonna be great. I hope they don't take it too seriously.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like my guy Ryan McGee, like it hurt to see him getting like hurt, but man, it was so beautiful that he just ate those punches and came back from. I really like those moments in boxing. Like, you know, those are what make it beautiful. I think boxing is a beautiful sport, but I don't want to get punched in the face.
I feel you. So then why do you work out then? If you're not just to box, but is it just to be healthy and stay in shape?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I just want to be happy with my body, you know. So a lot of things, you know, pursuits can be selfish. It doesn't have to be for something else. It's just like, I want to look good and be happy with what I have. I want to be able to pick up something heavy. I want to be functionally strong. And I'm not quite where I want to be right now, which is why I'm working out again. And it's just like, that's just for me. You know, it's not really for anybody else.
I got you. I ask because truthfully, I find it hard to find motivation to go to the gym if I'm not working for something, you know?
A goal of some kind.
I've just never worked out to be in good
shape. What about like for mental health? Like, I feel like anytime I come out of the gym.
Well, that's me.
Tony Robbins really fucked me up when he said that. When he said, like, if you take like 10 people that have like depression, 8 of them will dissipate if they go to the gym.
100%.
Like, and so I was like, oh, I'm going to try that. And dude, it really did. It turned. I actually journaled to see the days that I didn't work out versus the days I did. Massive difference.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, no, that's 100%.
I didn't know that, though. And I can't believe it took me 29 years to figure
it
out.
Well, because it's dopamine, just like anything else. It's back to the dopamine that we talked about earlier. It's like anytime you work out, you get that release.
If I am having a bit of an anxiety thing, which they come few and far between, I say that with privilege. I don't often struggle with these types of things. I will immediately run my body through fucking physical hell. And afterwards, I feel so much better.
Yeah.
So yes, in that way, for sure.
But here's the thing, though. Exercise should be fun, I think.
Sure.
With my e-bike, yes, it's given me electric assist, but I pedal that thing hard to try to get like as fast as I can, take turns as hard as I can, hold on for dear life. and like, that's a workout. I get my heart rate, you know, up 150 sometimes, just even with an e-bike.
Wow.
And it's like, cause I'm just like going as hard as I can. And that's fun and it's exercise. And with working out, like I recently was like, I fucking hate lifting a stupid goddamn bar. It's the stupidest thing. So I bought a bunch of sand from Home Depot. Literally, you can ask my girlfriend this. She thought I was insane. Because sand is $6 for a 50-pound bag. I got some duffel bags. I loaded them up with sand. I got a 75.
Greg Paul is creaming his pants right now.
With the sand
You're
stuff?
You're speaking his, my father
well, and,
loves this.
And what's his name, too? That would send us to the beach. At the Navy SEALs training.
Oh, yeah, Tim.
Yeah.
Tim Clemente.
I didn't think, I knew other people had to think this. And I just filled these bags and I just started like lifting them, carrying them, throwing them. I was just like, fucking, it was so much more cathartic just to be able to throw something and feel like I'm actually doing something. Because lifting weights is 1, 2. Yeah. I was like, I want to die. But throwing something, it's that release of just like, how far can I throw it? Well, Let me get friends over. We'll do sand throwing. We'll just chuck it as bad. Get in the pool. I'll have to swim, try to get it out and maybe drown. I don't know. Like, it's fun. It's fun. So it should be fun.
No, you're actually right. That's a sick idea. I mean, that workout that you're describing isn't like unfamiliar. That's an incredible workout. It's off-canter body movement that works muscles that you not you
never
normally
do.
Work. Yeah. I mean, bro, this is pretty
basic.
Yeah. Mm. You know, when you're twisting and moving and throwing and jerking.
Stability. It's the stability. Yeah.
And those workouts I actually think are becoming more and more prominent now. Like,
it's like, is it called like HIIT training? Basically like high intensity. Every time you see anyone training someone at the gym, they're never training on either resistance or free weights. It's always that kind of stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Flip the tire, jump, do the box jump, pick something up and twist and break
CrossFit.
Your spine. Yeah.
CrossFit, I think, has really that type of shit. Brought that out. I tried some CrossFit. Have you ever done CrossFit?
My knees don't really bend like that. I had some injuries that kind of prevent me from moving certain ways.
Dude, my knees are fucked up.
Whoa, what are you doing with your knee?
I can turn it backwards. I got like hyper flexibility in my ankles.
Oh my God.
I can turn it backwards.
Stop.
Look, man, I'm sorry.
Mark applying in real life. I see this fucking twisty knee.
No, yeah, my knees ain't so good because I do that too much.
He's like, this is actually going to injure me.
It really hurts every time.
Markiplier came from Multiplier.
Yeah,
but where did Multiplier come from?
Because I was gonna make videos where I was every character, so I was gonna multiply myself.
I was gonna do that too, and I had a channel called The Main. To Main,
really?
Yeah, and I was gonna play a bunch of different guys.
Oh,
The Main.
You could have bet. You could add 33 million
subscribers. You know how people? You know how people like Markiplier? You got famous with this brand, Markiplier, because I didn't know how to pronounce it for the longest time.
No one.
I thought it was like Mark I. Pliers?
Yeah.
Markiplier.
Yeah. That people think that's my name. And I'm like, I kind of roll with it.
What nationality is that, man? Markiplier? Is that French?
Do you want to expand beyond YouTube? Because we talked about the longevity of this game.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get into like the super longevity soon, right? You're a vet, dude. I'm a vet. We've been doing this for some time. But forever?
I mean, obviously not forever because I'll die someday.
Actually forever, Mark.
Actually forever? No, please, not want. I'm one of the people that, like, I don't want to live forever. No way in hell.
Ah.
Yeah, not at all. But for me, it's like, I like YouTube because it is the greatest place right now for me to do the type of content that I want to do. I don't really want to make TikToks. I do sometimes. I don't really want to do social media in general. I've made like some higher quality productions. I know how to do that. That is fun. It's just really intensive to put 2 years into something that people only see after that, and it really hinders you from just making the stupid fun videos. But honestly, I don't know. I've dabbled in acting now. And I feel like I've gotten better at acting. So it's like, that is an option, but it's, if you're acting, you're acting in a project where it's not your vision and you have to do what someone else says. And that doesn't fly with me.
Coming up? Do you have any projects coming up?
Yeah. There's one TV show that I was in, that I can't say anything about it, but it's coming out. It's called The Edge of
Sleep. Me and you aren't working out today. It's not working out, man.
It's okay, man. It's okay.
I need a therapist after you.
I know a good one. I'll recommend it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, but yeah, it's just like, for me, I don't really know. I don't have a 5-year plan. I let my manager worry about that. For me, I just like, I want to do things that I really enjoy and still learn, because I won't live long enough to learn all the things that I want to learn. I won't live long enough to know all the things I want to know or do all the things I want to do. So I might as well just like pick what I like most at the moment and then go for it.
So when you have a baby with this girlfriend now, or maybe if that happens, Family Channel?
No way. You put a kid through that? No way.
Shitty, right?
Yeah. I don't like it.
Yeah, but... could be good.
It could be good. Is that what you would do? If you had a family, let's say, would you make content centered around that kid?
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair.
Yeah, I don't think it is either.
You're robbing them.
You know what? You know what I might do? Maybe. Until my kid gets like recognized, make videos until he gets recognizable features. I think it'd be funny to see me fathering a fucking baby. I can't imagine what that looks like, right? Yeah, I think there's something. So maybe for like a year, maybe I Unas Honest my child.
You're going to kill him.
Just delete the kid.
No. Delete the kid.
Live? Oh, no.
No. I'm not going back there. No. No. I'm just saying maybe there's, I don't know. It's all weird. I'm not dead.
I mean, maybe you can make the baby a different character.
Mm-hmm.
I see. You just cover the face.
Yeah,
see
what
you're
saying.
We finally agreed on something. I never thought it would be disguising a baby that we agreed on, but
yeah, absolutely. It's like what all the Minecraft YouTubers are doing. They like a lot of them have masks on, no faces. You know, that's like kind of like a trend these days. Yeah. Just like hiding your identity. Yeah. So,
which is interesting. Mm-hmm. Are there creators that you're excited about right now?
Oh man, like I said, I watch unicycle videos, so I don't know.
There's got to be a top unicyclist.
I don't know. I haven't looked that deep. I haven't gone far enough.
Who's like the Lance Armstrong of like electric unicycles?
My favorite creator right now is a guy named Doug Doug. I love, he does these Twitch interactive streams and he edits down the VODs for YouTube and they're just very understanding.
What a great name.
Like, that's it.
Same name twice.
Yeah. He makes it so like Twitch, if Twitch can fly a plane in GTA for 30 seconds, they win, no prize. And it's like, it's just captivating. I don't know what it is.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And science videos, I guess.
So what else? Is there anything?
Kurtz Gesang, don't like that.
What?
Dude, I don't know. I don't have time to watch.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
We've been looking at each other this whole time, but only kind of, because there's a fucking bar.
Yeah,
right?
I know, one eye.
I'm just one eyeing him this whole time.
Dude, I got LASIK recently.
When?
2 weeks ago.
Really recently?
Yeah, yeah.
And?
Beautiful.
Fantastic, right?
Well, it's not LASIK, so I got this thing called Smile. It's like a newer version of it. Got it one day, and then the next day I could see perfectly.
Elaborate, please, just a little bit. And I'll tell you why. But what, Smile?
Smile, yeah.
How does it work?
The doctor smiles real hard. Just like what it is it's a laser. It's some femtosecond oscillator. And it shoots you in the eye. And then it cuts only below the top surface of your eye. And it carves out a lens shape. And then it cuts a 4-millimeter flap up at the top. And the doctor yoinks it right out of there.
It sounds like LASIK.
Yeah, pretty much. But they don't do a flap.
Okay. Could you smell your eye burning?
No, not in this one.
Oh.
And it was much faster.
Had you had LASIK before?
No, I was scared.
Okay, here's why I'm asking. I got LASIK.
Horror story?
No.
Okay.
No, it's all good. About 7 years ago, best surgery decision of my life.
I know. Yeah. It's like, why didn't I do this sooner? I'm an idiot. I was scared.
Want the bad news?
Mm?
I can't see shit now.
He's blind.
My vision kind of sucks from far away. I need to get it again.
Did you see this?
I can see your middle finger.
That's good.
But should I get smile? Like how often do I might need
okay,
to go
so
back?
Wait, you got it 7 years ago, you said?
Seven, probably 8 years ago. Yeah.
So you were like 20?
20,
or,
yeah.
Or 19?
Yeah. And they told me I was going to have to come back, but like I'm here now and it does suck. I have to be honest with you.
I would look into the smile, but I don't know how it works with like a previous LASIK.
Yeah. Problem. Like how many times can you just be fucking with your eye like that?
I don't know.
If I go blind, I will be upset.
I abstain from this. It's his fault.
Yeah.
It probably would be, but I'd fucking trip you and see it coming. Question, how fast was the surgery? You said it was quick.
Oh, the actual laser, 10 minutes.
How long was yours?
Probably 30 minutes. Did you have sensitivity afterwards? You had to like cover your eyes for a day or no?
I got up from the table and they said, you're good, go home.
That is ridiculous.
And they were like, go sleep when you get home. Here's
can you look into that actually? I'm serious.
No wonder it's smile. They're just like, all right, let's get the fuck out.
I had to have them turn off subtitles yesterday because I couldn't read them. And
it's
they were just distracting.
So
ruined. Oh, it's bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
Well, just go get some glasses on.
I thought about that too.
Yeah.
You'll probably look cool with them.
Yeah, you look
dude,
like
you look
cute.
Dignified with glasses. Yeah.
I kind of want to get glasses when I shave my head, like Mike.
Okay.
Do you think he looks too intimidating for this podcast?
No. You look like my buddy Wade. You're actually, how tall are you?
6'3".
So he's 6'4". He's like, he's very much same build, like shaved head.
Well, I just got hair transplant. That's why my hair is cut like this. And I got it at a place called Smile.
Oh,
why
wow.
is why no is every way. They're like, dude, eyes, we yeah, it doesn't matter what you're doing, but it's called Smile, bro. Like very strange. And mine was in a distant country far into Eastern Eurasia.
Did you have to go there?
Nah, I kind of wanted to go to Eurasia. Okay. I went in a tunnel that connected Europe to Asia.
That's
believe it or not,
so...
underwater, all in the same city of Istanbul.
Wow.
That's a story for another day, Markiplier.
You can call me Mark. It's so weird when people call me Markiplier. I mean, I know.
Well, no, I wouldn't normally. It's just
absolutely.
For effect on the show.
I get it. No, man, it's weird. Just shut up.
I would actually like to call you Markiplier.
You can do that if you like. Call me whatever you like.
Dude, I think that's all I got.
All right, cool.
That was fun.
That was great.
Yeah.
You're fantastic, dude.
Well, thank you. I mean,
I'm my favorite guest.
It does. Thank you very much. It blows my mind that we've never actually sat down and talked.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
We've had some DMs. I'm sorry I didn't promote the show.
Dude, it doesn't matter.
You know what it was? And I say this honestly. Mm-hmm. I looked at it. I noted it. And then whatever I was doing that day just fell through. And
it happened. I actually hate asking, right?
It's worse.
Yeah, my manager was like, you just ask, what's the harm? And I'm like, I don't like getting favors, owing favors. I just like it to be honest. If people like it, they like it. That's why it doesn't matter. We don't have to talk about anything I do or whatever.
I got you in the next one. Especially because now we have a thing. People will understand more.
It was on the show.
It was on the Impulsive. Remember Markiplier?
Yeah.
Markiplier.
No, we go way back.
Just guys.
Like constantly tangential.
Markiplier, to my right. Thanks for coming on Impulsive, man.
Well, thank you for having me.
You guys, check out his stuff. It's truly fascinating. And this type of creator is like once in a generation. So start paying attention to him if you haven't already. Also, if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button or I'm coming for you. We love you. Thank you for listening to this episode of Impulsive. We'll see you next time. Take it easy. Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.